Reporting center?
Yes, is Bob Gribble available?
This is he.
Bob, this is Al Henry from the Center for UFO Studies.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, good to talk to you again. We got a very brief letter from some people who talked about a sighting that was reported in Portland, Oregon, closer to your neck of the woods, back on the 29th, I believe it was. I don't even see the date for that. Oh, hang on a second. I think it's the 29th. About 10:40 p.m. Sunday the 29th. And I guess it was on KATU Channel 2 News in Portland because of all the hundreds of calls that police and Air National Guard and people got regarding it. Some kind of mysterious lights floating around in the sky.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people thought, do you know anything about it?
Hang on, let me check the file.
Okay.
The only thing we got for that date in that area is a report, which obviously, by the description from the witness, is one of these nighttime advertising aircraft.
Okay, it says, this really seems to have very little to do with that. It seems to be seven independent lights in the sky all moving about independently of each other.
From
the drawings I've got here, it's almost like looking at the old Tremont in Utah movie. And I guess there were hundreds of calls to, in Portland, the police, the Air Force, the Air National Guard, the Sheriff's Office, the air traffic control there. Oh, hang on a second. Can I grab that other line? Am I holding with that?
Sure.
Thank you. Sorry for the interruption, Bob. I've got a phone downstairs in the first floor and my Watts extension up in the second floor.
Oh, that'll keep you exercising.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing I have to. I call you, you know, to find out if you knew anything, because the people said very little in their letter. They haven't got a phone number I can call, so I'm going to have to mail to them.
What time did that happen?
It was at 10:40 p.m. of Sunday the 29th.
Huh. I'll be darned. They don't have a phone, or they just didn't list
one? They gave me their address, but I called the directory. It's an unusual name, too, but I called the directory. And they didn't have a listing for it.
I'll be darned. You want to give me their name, and maybe we can get in contact with them.
Okay, well, I figure I'll mail them, too.
Oh, okay.
I'll mail off, too. I'll give you the name if you're interested as well.
Sure. Okay.
In Portland, Oregon.
Right.
And the zip is 97211. If you write to them, mention to them that we told you about it.
Righto. How have things been back there?
Pardon?
How have things been back there?
Okay, it's not the June madness rush that I would have anticipated. You know, the usual seasonality hasn't really taken place. Got about the same number of calls this month as I did last month.
Huh.
Usually there's that big jump, the big peak in calls. How about you?
Quiet.
I suppose you got wind of the big meteor that was seen all the way from Baja, California, up to Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we heard about that one.
Now, according to NORAD, it's not a reentry, which surprises me. So that's quite a big meteor.
Well, I'll tell you, the flash that thing created without a concussion of any kind is really something.
Yeah, it lit up the whole sky. That's what everybody agrees upon.
Yeah. Just like daylight.
Uh-huh. Or some people told me, like lightning without clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
I wish I'd seen something like that. I was sure NORAD was going to tell me it was a reentry. That kind of mass, that kind of distance that it covered. But they had nothing on it.
Well, of course you know NORAD, though. Of course, I think if it was a space junk reentry, they'd say so.
They always have in the past.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty good working relationship with a guy named Kinchy there in public affairs.
Uh-huh.
You've probably spoken to him yourself.
I think I have, yes. Say, listen, there's one thing I'd like to ask you. How does one get a hold of you in the middle of the night if something real big breaks somewhere?
Okay, I'll give you my phone number.
Okay.
Now that I have a Watts extension in my study in my house, I'm usually here most of the time anyway.
Okay.
But the area code 312.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. I was just wondering about that here a while back, because I don't know what kind of setup you had with the telephone answering service on the hotline.
Uh-huh. Well, if something important happens, they call me anytime.
Yeah, I see.
On the home number. Otherwise, they just accumulate materials for me, and I get back in touch with them on a daily basis.
Right. Okay. Well, there's not a darn thing to report here. We've been hoping for something big, but seems like that expected big flap just isn't going to come.
Well, that's so funny. Well, I don't know why anyone expects a big flap, to be honest with you. But,
Well, only because they have occurred in the past is all. You know, after certain time gaps.
But not really. I mean, if you're thinking of something like Saunders' material,
no.
Then he's talking about the Soviet
no.
Union, I think, the Ural Mountains. But otherwise, no. In fact, you know, looking at the Air Force curve, you know, for seasonality averaged out over 22 years, there was always a big jump in the month of June compared to May. And ever since I've been doing this since November, following up on the calls and logging them, we've been following their curve just exactly, really have, for average seasonality. And I expected the onslaught this month, that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, of course, you see kids get out of school, and then they start seeing things.
Right.
Say, did you hear about the mini flap or major flap, whatever it is, in Chile?
Yeah, we have. Primarily what we've heard, of course, is the one case that is the highlight of the Chile activity. We've got umpteen different news wires on that, but nothing directly from any investigators on there.
Right.
Down in South America, considering the kind of stories that come out of that continent.
How's Dr. Hynek?
Okay, very good.
Do you have any scheduled trips coming out this way?
He was out Washington Way not too long ago, as I recall. A month and a half back, I think it was. But not lately, as far as I know.
He's
in Cleveland right now. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do on this end, regarding this other case, is since the Air National Guard claimed on the news that they got a lot of calls, and since they probably take a more vested interest in it than the police or the Air Force, I will give them a buzz and see what they noted on the thing.
Yeah, because that's really the first that we've heard of it, and I'm surprised being so close.
We just got a single letter on it. Yeah, I know you have good coverage. Whenever I speak to FAA in California, any of the states around there, they always mention you, saying that you're the guy they relay stuff to.
Well, they don't relay it. They might give out our number, but they don't call personally.
Well, that's also generally the case with me, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's giving out our confidential 800 number to everybody, but so it's come to the point where I just can't complain, but be grateful that I get the...
Yeah, I'm surprised that they don't cooperate more with you right from the towers with that number that you got. You know, call right when it happens.
I think that half of them don't have the number in their possession.
But I don't know whether, you know, of course there's a lot of those people who aren't in the least bit interested, so.
You know, you came up on a conversation with a guy called me from FAA in Washington. They're reworking the latest version of the FAA advisory. And he would have liked to have made life easy by running the center's phone number directly in the FAA advisory, saying, you know, because up till now the wording has been call the closest, you know, institution of higher learning.
Right.
Like a university. What do they care? But then it was called to his attention by other FAA facilities, of course, that they have your number out west to call, you know, for this sort of thing.
Yes.
Now, then he began to learn of APRO and began to learn of MUFON and said his it's the 1-800 number we could give out that would service everybody, that all the groups could agree upon.
Uh-huh.
In all honesty, honesty, I had to tell them no, and I really don't know how they plan to resolve that.
God, yeah, if they give out, you know, if they start passing your number out to the general public, why, you could end up with a deluge of just junk calls.
I know.
And then when the high-priority stuff wants to come through, they just can't get through. That's the big problem with an 800 number on this subject, because it leaves the door wide open to all the cranks in the country.
Well, I'll tell you, with our police set up the way it is, I've spoken to maybe four cranks and 800 calls.
Uh-huh.
But I think we're pre-screening a little too strongly. Either there really aren't any humanoid cases and things taking place right now, or we're just not getting them. Physical trace cases, anything like that.
Did you hear about the one in, well, let's see now, this would be down by Pittsburgh, California?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we were on scout. I spoke to the kids initially. The night that it within 24 hours of it happening, I canvassed every radar facility, both civilian and military, in that area, with no luck whatsoever, the night after the night it happened. And then I got Richard Haynes to go out there and talk to the boys as well. I also spoke to them to an extent on the phone, but it was clear that they needed somebody to go back out to the site to point things out.
Uh-huh.
So I've got a certain amount of preliminary information on that from Dick Haynes, and I'll be writing it up in the next IUR. Are you receiving that at all, by any chance?
No.
You're not?
No. No, I was too much in the poorhouse to get a subscription in. So. But did those kids ever take a lie detector test?
No. The nature of the descriptions they provided is sort of tenuous and mirage-like in itself.
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing to really commit them to. You know, if they were making up a story, they didn't make up a very good one. You know, dark figures that can barely be seen walking down the road towards them. A UFO that could only be made out by the row of windows along it. Not like an airplane, unfortunately. It was just a few steady, large windows. It was there for an hour. They couldn't even be sure whether it actually landed on the ground or just rose above it.
Right.
They all offered very tenuous stories, and it's not the kind of thing that somebody would make up, really. Really, unfortunately, it's of highly limited value.
Yeah, and I guess that neither one of them had any real background knowledge. Of course, they were too young to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they committed themselves to extreme detail and resolution of experience, then, yeah, I could see going to polygraph. So my experiences with polygraph on this end haven't been all that promising.
Yeah.
I once took a woman named Mamie Hicks in the prelude for a television show special based on an experience she had in Hillsboro, Illinois, back in 1975 with humanoids in her backyard. I took her in to John Reed and Associates here in Chicago, and she was given a polygraph test where she was simply asked four variants on the same question: are you telling the truth about the details of the sighting? And depending on how they worded the questions, sometimes she would register a considerable amount of stress, and the next time she'd register no stress at all, even though it was the same question, just worded in a different way.
Uh-huh.
And they had to rule out the test as being a valid arbiter of proof for or against. Their general comment, you know, it was the first time they had experience with polygraph with a UFO witness. They said there's so much room for subjectivity, you know, and personal observation that it's just not as clear cut as their usual experience of saying, did you rob money from a bank or didn't you rob money from a bank?
Right.
There's so much latitude for personal interpretation. So I've been a little off polygraph myself of late. In fact, I've been a little frustrated to find any type of procedure, you know, to back up a person's integrity.
What about that psychological stress evaluator for voice?
We've heard good things about it. It's an extensive thing, I can tell you that. We had a brochure on it, advertising one which you could hook up directly to your telephone, so that when you spoke to people on the phone, they would tell you whether what they're telling you is
true. Right. And the man who made that thing up lives just east of Seattle.
Uh-huh. That's right. It was about $1,600 for it.
Yeah, that's all.
That's right.
I don't know whether the truth is worth that much or not.
Of course, it measures, you know, stress, I suppose, but to a great extent you have to ask, you know, what's inspiring the stress. Now, but the problem is it's polygraph, too. So much of it's interpretation, you know. My favorite analogy that I always toss out is if someone saw a magician doing a trick, and you didn't know how the trick was done, you got to ask, you know, did you really see him make a woman disappear under a cloak? You'd say, yes, you really viewed it. You'd show no stress on PSE. You'd pass polygraph, truth serum, everything else. But did it really happen physically? Blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, same thing with these boys seeing these figures in the dark. One of them, you know, gave me a detailed thing about how all three were walking and just had a limp, and they were marching in step. The other boys didn't see those kind of details. If it was a hoax, they sure didn't agree on the facts at all.
Well, don't you think it would make a difference if the original report, the original conversation, went through a PSI machine?
Doesn't even have to be original, as I understand it. For example, they subjected a tape recording off of a television interview with Hickson and Parker on the Pascagoula incident. You know, they were describing it long after the fact. Well, the PSE revealed that they were telling the truth,
uh-huh.
If you want to interpret it as such. Was considerably after the, after this thing had been put into the past. I suppose it's still fair to ask the question, what variables are involved in creating stress besides an awareness that you're not accurately portraying the facts, especially long after you've told the story umpteen times and you kind of, you know, comfortably settled into place with it.
So I saw Dr. Hynek on this, I can't remember this guy's name.
What, was it?
Geraldo
Rivera?
You're right.
Yeah, it was a pretty cruddy show. They filmed, like, you know, about an hour's worth, and they cut it down to about 10 minutes.
You made the statement there that the center is evaluating or investigating up to 12 abduction reports right now. Is this true?
They are not new abduction cases. There was a hypnotist in California, and the hypnotist they know, William McCall. And they tried a controlled experiment where they took people who had not had abduction experiences, put them under hypnosis, and in attempting not to lead them, simply ask them, about whether or not they'd ever been abducted by a UFO. And I guess they proceeded to go into very detailed narratives in describing the occupants and the interior of the craft and everything. All six volunteers did this stuff. And at the end, when they asked them, are these experiences made up or were they real, the people start insisting they were real, all six. Now, I don't know any of the details. I don't know how much they led these witnesses or how much input, you know, they were fed. The report as it stands right now is awfully preliminary. It doesn't really go into detail. But I've always been, you know, a little suspicious about whether or not people were just bringing up fantasies out of their subconscious as their minds are being addressed by hypnosis, or whether or not it really was an accurate portrayal of something that had happened physically. Ever since there was that little zinger tossed into that Missouri fisherman case that happened, last summer, where the guy was being hypnotized, he told a story about being fishing, being near the car, saw some UFOs, ran back to the car and slumped over it, came to about 3 hours later. When they hypnotized him, he told about being abducted and examined, dropped onto an alien landscape, and then returned again back to his car. The hypnotist asked him to describe the occupants, and he gave a really outlandish-looking appearance, even for UFOs. And the hypnotist asked him, "Are you sure?" This guy thought a second, under hypnotic trance, he thought a second and said, no, that's something I saw in the Sunday comic section. As I understand it, there's in about 20 hours of recorded testimony, there's a lot of zingers like that.
Neither.
And it was that case that made me first start wondering about whether or not, you know, I've been following Leo Sprinkle's statements, you know, how difficult or impossible it is to lie under hypnosis, but that and now this report on this controlled experiment with six volunteers who've never seen a UFO before, all of them lucidly describing occupants and the interior and all the craft and the instruments and the light panels and everything, what the occupants looked like, all under hypnosis, but I guess a minimum of leading by the investigators, really makes you ask questions.
You know, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I'm sure you know as well as I do that with all the people calling in the ad planes and telling us that they're dome discs with lights running around the edges and everything else, you know, reading all of this detail into these Rorschach blots, I'm sure you've wondered as much as I have how much of this phenomenon is partly sociological.
Right.
How much of an emotional climate there is affecting people's judgments about UFOs. And this is, you know, sort of directly to the point.
Huh.
Well, I've taken up enough of your time, Bob. Yeah.
Well, it's sure been a pleasure talking to you again.
Okay. You're not coming to the big conference by any chance, are you?
No. Okay. I'm retired now, so I got my limitations of what I can do.
Okay.
I sure like to, because it sounds like a dandy.
Well, I'll let you know what it's like when I talk to you later on.
Very good.
Okay.
Right.
See you later, Bob.
Bye now.